Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Well, thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. With me is David Smith.
Hello.
The Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. And we're joined by Elise Boak, who opposes efforts to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment in Illinois.
The ERA.
Yeah. She's lobbied lawmakers in Springfield, asked them to reject the ERA. And Elise, surely you can understand why lawmakers would be reluctant to vote against the ERA. How can they explain to female voters, especially those who work outside the home, why the ERA is bad for women?
Well, the Equal Rights Amendment is a very poorly written amendment. And as such, it harms women. It doesn't benefit them. When we're talking about equal opportunities for women, which I support, and I think 99% of Americans support, all the legislators that I talk to support equal opportunities for women, but we have to separate that from our understanding of the Equal Rights Amendment. We've got to look at what is the outcome that we want. If we feel like we've got to put legislation into the U.S. Constitution, what's the outcome that we want from that amendment? The current amendment that's placed before us is the Equal Rights Amendment is so poorly written and so broad and ambiguous that many people really don't know what it will do. Other legal experts have stated this is going to be taken to an extreme and it will harm women. So those legislators who are voting against it, they're doing that because they have taken the time to look deeply into this issue, to be educated on it. They're not making a politically expedient vote. They're making an intelligent vote in favor of women.
You know, it's easy to hear the soundbite, right? Equal Rights Amendment, and think, oh yeah, this is a no-brainer. But what does it do, Elise? Why are we, Illinois Family Institute, Eagle Forum of Illinois, and other pro-lifers so adamant against this bill that it fail?
So the language of the bill mandates that you cannot treat men and women differently. In fact, you can't treat it. It basically says you cannot make any distinction based on sex. And so in most cases, that would be okay in the application. But there are a number of cases where it's not, where it becomes extreme and harmful. I'll give you a couple of examples.
Before you give those examples, just really quick, you know, as Christians, we're commanded to love every human being because they're made in the image of God, right? And so, yes, every single person should be treated with dignity and respect. However, that doesn't mean that we just kind of shelve the fact that there are biological differences in gender roles, right?
Exactly. And we need, when we're crafting a law that gives us equal opportunities, we've got to be able to recognize when it logically makes sense to make exemptions based on our biological differences.
So give us some examples that you were just about to give.
Okay. We have a number of labor laws and guidelines that benefit women and actually enable them to have equal opportunities in the workforce.
Yep.
All of those would be overturned because under the ERA, you cannot give preferential treatment to one gender over the other. And so some of our labor guidelines would have to be overturned.
Well, like what?
For example, right now in Illinois, in our prison system, you've got male and female correction guards. The females tend to work in the female prisons. Those two are separated. You've got male prisons and female prisons.
That makes sense to me.
Right. So when you're talking about body searches, you absolutely want a female correction guard doing a body search on a female
Sure.
inmate. That's a right for that female inmate and a protective guideline for them. Sometimes with staff shortages, you may see a female correction guard go into the male prison, but they're never, ever placed in the areas that are segregated with the extremely violent and aggressive male inmates for their for the well-being of those female correction guards. So that enables them to be able to work in that career field but not be placed in a situation that would be dangerous for them.
And so let's flush this out. The ERA would eliminate all gender distinctions and therefore probably put these some women prison guards into dangerous situations.
Exactly. And we would take it one step further, according to Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who wrote a book in the 70s, basically stipulating what the ERA would and wouldn't do. She said that prisons would have to be sex integrated. And so you could not just have a female prison in a male prison. You would have to integrate those female prisons into a very dangerous situation for them with male prison inmates.
I know I'm speculating here, but ever since they've integrated women into combat, we've had serious problems with pregnancy rates and unit cohesion. I could only imagine what would go on in our prisons. So it's speculation, I know.
Well, it not only that, but you have male prison inmates who, as I talk with some of the prison guards, they said, you know, there are some of them who just hate women. And if you put them around a woman in a prison, they're going to assault them. They're going to rape them. It's not a good situation that we would be placing those women in.
All right. So what, give us another example of what how ERA would effectively erase gender distinctions.
Well, other labor guidelines that we have pregnancy accommodation laws. We just passed one in 2014 here in Illinois that provides for women who are in jobs that require long periods of standing or heavy labor, heavy manual labor. While they are pregnant during those 9 months, they're provided with additional breaks throughout the day that support them as they carry that child but enable
that
them
sense.
To keep their job.
Sure.
So that, again, is a protective,
it's
supportive,
sure.
equal opportunity law that the ERA would overturn.
It would eliminate that.
Right. You can't show preferential treatment to women under the ERA.
All right. Now I want to get to one that really bugs me. Okay. As the father of two daughters, I suspect or expect that all my boys will register for the Selective Service when they turn 18. ERA would have an impact on my daughters being required to register for the Selective Service as well, which means they'd be eligible for the draft.
Right. Not only would they be mandated under the ERA to register for the draft, but if we were to go to war, they would have to be, we would have to draft an equal number of women to men.
No kidding.
And we would have to place an equal number of women to men on the frontline combat. Now, currently, you've got a situation where women can assess themselves and choose
sure.
whether they want to enlist in the military and where in the military they want to serve.
That's right.
Under the ERA, all choice is gone. And if we were to go to war, women would be mandated to go to war, be placed in frontline combat. And as women, we are far more vulnerable if we are captured by the enemy to sexual aggression, to rape, than men are.
Absolutely.
Well, so again, the ERA does not benefit women in that case. It harms them.
Yes. Let's talk about the motivation for bringing the ERA back up at this point in time. What's the motivation for that?
I think there are many on the other side. Well, there's a couple of motivations. Some were just completely consumed by this debate in the 70s, and they're frustrated that they've never been able to get it through. And so they're trying to resurrect that old amendment from the 70s and push it through, whether it was well-written or not. There's been so much testimony that it's poorly written, but they're ignoring that and trying to push it through with all of its negative ramifications on women. The second is the Equal Rights Amendment, because it is so broad and ambiguous, it also has a tremendous negative impact on the unborn child. It has been interpreted in two states that have similarly worded state equal rights amendments, both in New Mexico and Connecticut. Their state courts ruled that under their state ERAs, abortion funding for elective abortions was required for Medicaid abortions. So these are elective abortions with Medicaid funding. Their equal rights amendments required that they provide taxpayer funding for those, with the idea that because abortion is unique to women, to withhold funding for that, taxpayer funding is a form of sex discrimination. And so what they are doing is there are those who are concerned that at some point we'll recognize that there's really not a firm foundation in the Constitution for abortion. Because the privacy idea was, many feel that that was created with Roe v. Wade.
Absolutely.
And many feel that that could be overturned. And so with this ERA, they feel like they could enshrine abortion into the federal constitution, give it a firm footing. And if it were there, it would overturn all restrictions on abortion. So right now we have a partial birth abortion ban. We have third trimester abortion bans. All of those would be overturned. The Hyde Amendment, which does not allow taxpayer funding to be used on elective abortions or Medicaid abortions, that would be overturned.
And in states that have like clinic regulations or ultrasound bills or waiting periods, those would all be overturned as well, right?
Those would all be overturned, including parental notification.
I was just going to ask you about that. Illinois fought a long battle to get this parental notification. It is not consent. Just notify the parents. And it's finally in effect just a couple of years ago. And this would be overturned by the ratification of ERA.
Right. And so this is why I say that the Equal Rights Amendment, it's so poorly written, it harms women, their unborn children, and our society.
I want to ask you about the 14th Amendment, because everything that women really want is covered already, correct?
Exactly. In fact, there's already been one decision that was made by the U.S. Supreme Court based on the 14th Amendment for women. It was the Virginia Military Institute, in which they ruled that women would be allowed to attend the Virginia Military Institute based on the protections provided to all for equal protection under the 14th Amendment.
So we've already got what we need. We don't need ERA.
Well, let me just follow up on what you're saying, Dave,
okay.
Because not only is it the 14th Amendment, but we have a whole long list of legislation that's been carefully crafted to address any area where there was inequity. We've got this Equal Pay Act of 1963, which provides equal pay for women across the board. And if anybody ever feels that they're not being provided with equal pay, they can take that to the EEOC and get redress for that.
That seems to be a constant complaint of the left, however, you know.
It is. And there are huge holes in what they're saying. Again, they're making a huge blanket statement that's inaccurate when you look in depth into it.
Repeatedly.
They talk a lot about the gender wage gap, and we've come up to, now they're saying it's 78 cents to the dollar, that women make 78 cents to the dollar for men. But what they're not telling you is they're taking all women with their wages and averaging that and comparing it to all men with their wages and averaging that. So they're comparing all of women's wages with all of men's wages, and they're not separating it out by career fields, et cetera. So when you compare that, that's where you get the 78 cents to a dollar. When we take out by career field, same level of education, same age, et cetera, when you put it as close as possible, we're seeing a 98 cents to the dollar. And that 2 cents, we believe, as you look at it more closely, can be understood based on three things. One, women tend to prefer flexible jobs, time flexible jobs, because when we go into our jobs, we've already got an eye out for our current children or our future children.
Sure.
We want something that's going to enable us to be available to them if we're working. And with time flexibility, oftentimes the salary goes down a little bit. We're even seeing this within the field of physicians. Female physicians tend to pick fields that are more time flexible and predictable.
Makes sense
than
to me.
Males who are sometimes pick the ones where they'll pull
moms
out of
moms want to be home with their kids.
They do. They want to be available to them.
Absolutely.
And so that time flexibility erodes the wage to
makes
some
sense.
Extent. You pay for that with the
what
amount
are the
of
other
money.
Two now?
So the other two are that we often interrupt our career to stay home, have our children, raise them for a period of time, some longer than others. So that interrupted career time, when we go back in, we've got to catch up.
Absolutely.
There are programs to support women as they come back into the workforce. Those would be overturned under an ERA because that's preferential treatment for women.
Wow.
So one of these tools that we use to help women would be overturned. The third one that creates this is just the fact that women overall, we tend to choose career fields that are more in the area of the social sciences, the helping fields, as opposed to the higher paying math, science,
sure.
STEM fields.
Yep.
In fact, they've been doing a lot of programs to try to draw more women into those fields. And since doing that, less women are going into those fields.
Really?
You know, we're exercising our choice. We're saying, this is where I want to be. This is what I'm comfortable doing. This is what I enjoy doing. And so if we want, one of the things that I thought made a lot of sense is we have to truly educate women. If making a large salary is important to them, we need to help them understand how they're going to do that.
That's right.
Not tell them, hey, you're being discriminated against. Go out there and be angry. We need to tell them, if you really want that high salary, you've got to go into the STEM field and you've got to be willing to go to stick with it. You can't leave your field.
Listen,
how you're going to get there.
I really wish the social science fields were paid better.
I do too, because there's a huge benefit there.
But that's what the market gives us, right?
Right. But I have to say, it's not all about money. We need money to help provide for us. But
absolutely.
There is, and a lot
There's
of people.
Altruistic cause reasons to be in the fields that we're in. Absolutely.
Right. You see a lot of people leaving those higher paying fields going into altruistic causes because they find it gives them a higher satisfaction in
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. More to life than just making money.
All right. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. Our guest is Elise Folk. We've been talking about the Equal Rights Amendment. We'll have a few more comments from Elise after this.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action. Our guest is Elise Folk, an opponent of the Equal Rights Amendment. She's the state chairman of Stop ERA Illinois. And we've touched on a lot of the negative impact that an ERA would have here in Illinois. But
and nationwide.
And nationwide. But I think for a lot of folks, just to refresh our memory, it's not just about equal pay for equal work. You know, I'm the dad of two college-educated daughters, and by golly, I want them to get the same pay that their male counterparts get.
Sure.
It's far beyond that, isn't it, Elise? Mm-hmm.
It is. It's much beyond that. And like I've said, we want to look at what is it that the outcome, what outcome do we want to see when we're talking about equal opportunities for women? What are we missing, and how do we craft precise laws to address that? Because I like to use the analogy that when we go see a dentist with a cavity, we want them to use a precision instrument to address just that cavity. We would run fast if they came into the office with a sledgehammer.
Some of us already run just because.
You know, if they said, let me use this sledgehammer and take out all the teeth on that side of your mouth that's hurting,
right.
We would run. And so the Equal Rights Amendment, I feel, is like that sledgehammer. If we're talking about that there are still some inequities that we need to address, let's write specific laws that address that. Or if we're saying we need it as a constitutional amendment, let's write a better amendment that clearly resolves any problems but doesn't create damage. Because the current ERA is like a sledgehammer.
Mm.
It's going to cause far more damage than good.
This battle's been raging for a little while, hasn't it, Elise?
It has.
And you have been going down to Springfield to testify against the Illinois ratification of this since, you said, 2003, right?
Well, I started in 2005, but there were many that were fighting it in 2003, gotcha. And this was going on in the 70s. In right. fact, I'll take you back even further. This started in the 1920s, and in the 30s and 40s, the labor unions were fighting it because of the negative impact they felt it would have on women.
Wow. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your tenacity and your perseverance in going down and dealing with some of these hard-headed lawmakers that we have in Springfield and trying to talk sense into them. Obviously, it hasn't gained enough traction to get the supermajority vote it needs in our state capitol, right? You need a supermajority in the Senate, which means 36 votes, and a supermajority in the House, which means 71 votes. And so I'm grateful to you and Penny Poland and, of course, Phyllis Schlafly, who preceded all of us in this battle and showed us the way to go, right? Mm-hmm. So we're very glad. But why is this? Why should it be a dead issue now? And why is it even troubling that they keep bringing this up? Nevada just recently passed a ratification for this. But the time period has already passed, correct?
Right. And if I were a legislator from Nevada who voted for it, I would be embarrassed because it is a dead amendment. And really, and this is something that our legislators, many of them do understand, is that to support a legally dead amendment is making a mockery out of our legal system.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's there. Any of them that are voting for it, it's more of a politically expedient vote just because they feel like...
Perception is reality.
Right, right. It's not an intelligent vote.
And the ends justifies the means.
Well, Machiavellian is not good with the end results. But what they really need to understand is in the 70s when it was first passed out of Congress... it was given a 7-year time deadline. And so, and 24 of the states who ratified it did so with language that recognized that time deadline. So that was essentially part of their contract.
Yeah.
We will pass it, but in recognition of this 7-year time deadline.
Right.
It failed to meet that time deadline. And I should add in that when it first passed out of Congress, there was a lot of support because people believed and still believe in equal opportunities for women. But as they began to recognize the problems with the language, that support evaporated. Mm. In fact, a number of states rescinded their ratification because they recognized that the language was harmful to women, to the unborn child, and to our society. And so it failed to be adopted in 1979. Now, in 1978, when they realized that this amendment was not going to get the number, it needed to have 38 states to support it. It only had 35. When they realized they were running out of time, they tried to pass an extension out of Congress, but they only passed it with a simple majority, not the 2/3 majority that was required. This was taken through the courts, and a district court agreed and said no, that time extension was not valid.
They struck it down.
They also supported the right of states to rescind their ratifications. And so in 1982, it died. They tried to bring it back out of Congress in 1983 without a time deadline. They held a series of hearings on it, very in-depth, for 1983, 1984, in which they brought many experts out to testify for and against it. And as you read through those hearings, it's fascinating because they're asking the supporters questions about it. Will it do this? Will it do that? And they say, we don't know. And they say, well, how can you not know? How can you not know what it will do if you want to put it into our Constitution? And then
that's even worse than you have to read it to see what's in it.
Yeah. Exactly. And so Senator Hatch spoke up and he said, part of the problem our nation faces is we pass too many laws without really understanding what's in them.
Hello.
We really need to understand what's in our laws before we make them law, because we have to live by those laws.
Right.
So Congress, having been wisely educated, there was this huge dialogue for all of that time about what the ERA would and wouldn't do. They refused to support it. They basically said, bring us something with better language. Fast forward to the 90s, where a couple of college students said, you know what, we can't seem to get any more support. We can't seem to get any new language. So they decided, let's just go back and resurrect the old one. And people aren't educated on it today.
Right.
They're back to just saying, you believe in equal rights for women, so support this.
Right.
But they're not looking at the
and
problems.
And that's so dangerous
with it.
In a culture that's so focused on sound bites and Twitter messages, right? Can you say it in 140 characters, right?
Exactly.
And that's a problem. But before we wrap up this podcast, I really want to ask you about Social Security and bathrooms. How would the ERA affect those two subjects or topics?
So with Social Security benefits, currently we provide Social Security benefits for women who choose to stay home and raise their kids. And again, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has said that if the ERA were passed, it would overturn that benefit for stay-at-home moms because it's encouraging women to be dependent on their husbands. That Social Security benefit is something that women get based on their husband's salary. And before anybody cries foul, we've done studies and we found that women who stay home and raise their kids tend to have more children who then grow up and contribute more into Social
That's
Security
exactly right.
than if those women
they
had
expand
been.
Expand the economy.
Right, because it's a pyramid structure with
That's
the Social
right.
Security system. And so they actually contribute more through their children than if they had contributed themselves.
Absolutely.
So they are financing that Social Security system. But even if, so we now have gender neutral language for the Social Security statutes, but even with that, Justice Ginsburg said with the, in her decision with the partial birth abortion ban, she said she would, even with the gender neutral language, she would overturn the Social Security benefits for women under the ERA because it violates.
Too, right? Spouses' death benefits? No?
Well, she wanted to. She felt anything that encouraged women to be dependent on their husbands was a violation
sure.
of the equality principle
wow.
and would be overturned under this
okay.
current ERA. And then you had also mentioned bathrooms.
Right. Anyone following the Target boycott, right?
Right.
And hopefully
right.
everyone is boycotting Target.
Right. So Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that, as I mentioned earlier, that prisons would have to be sex integrated.
Yep.
And we also know that under the ERA, because you can't make any distinction based on gender designations for bathrooms, locker rooms, jails that I mentioned, and hospital rooms, all of that would disappear. And so we would lose our privacy, our rights to privacy, and our protection.
Wow. What would happen to the tax-exempt status of churches and religious institutions that didn't adhere to the ERA? Would they be subject to some kind of penalty or lose their tax exemption?
Well, now you've got two constitutional amendments dueling it out. You've got religious yeah. freedom versus, you know, the inability to make any distinction based
well,
on
gender. Well,
we know
religious liberty usually loses. At least that's the trend lately.
That's what we've seen lately. And so that would put one more piece into the Constitution that would allow them to persecute religious liberty.
So if a church had a stance against ordinating women,
mm-hmm.
They could lose their tax exempt status.
They could.
Hmm. Wow. Let's do a little backtrack here. Who's bankrolling this effort to pass the ERA in Illinois? Who's behind this?
A lot of national groups are funding it.
Okay.
And so it's this big national push to get they feel they have three remaining states, and then if they get their number of 38, they will take it back to Congress, where they have a resolution to get Congress to retroactively extend the time deadline and make it a binding constitutional amendment, which is kind of like playing a sports game and waking up the next day and saying, we don't really like the results, so we're going to play one more period, one more inning, and make that the decision.
So just real quick, Planned Parenthood, support of this bill?
Absolutely.
ACLU?
Absolutely.
NOW, National Organization for Women?
Yes.
All right. So,
yep.
I mean, that kind of gives you a flavor of who's behind it, right?
Right.
So,
right.
The supporters of this amendment are really not looking out for the best interests of women or for their unborn children.
The gay groups as well, right? Human Rights Commission and what is it? Equality Illinois.
Right. They've all said that they would benefit from the Equal Rights Amendment because you can't make any distinction based on gender. So women are being used as the sacrificial lambs to further a very extreme liberal agenda.
Yep.
Okay. How do we stop the ERA in Illinois?
I think it's very important for you to be educated, to reach out to others, educate them about the problems with the ERA, and then reach out to your Illinois state legislators, your senator, your representative for the Illinois state, not for Congress.
Right.
And let them know that you expect them to vote no on the Equal Rights Amendment because it harms women, their unborn children, and our society.
And the Springfield phone number is 217-782-2000. That's the switchboard. Call and talk to your state rep's office and your state senator's office and ask them both to vote no to ERA. So, Elise, how do they get a hold of you?
I can give you a phone number, too, if they want to get in touch with me directly. They can reach me at 847-707-1217, or they can reach out to me by email at ebouc7@gmail.com. 847-707-1217, and the email is ebouc7@gmail.com.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's all the time we have on this edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. Very grateful for Elise Boak.
Glad she's in the fight.
For being here and continuing this fight for women here in Illinois. Thanks so much. And all the best. And until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.